You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Agents, welcome. This is Game Time episode 14. My name is Captain Jeff Sunder for today.
Oh, you're Captain?
Yes, I am Captain.
Clearly, I'm Lieutenant Richard Bradbury.
I was going to go with Private Richard Bradbury. But we're all agents for today.
Indeed.
And the reason why is because in 2013, Ubisoft and Massive, the studio company, they announced a game that ultimately became the deciding factor for me to go out and buy a gaming machine, which then became the PS4.
Correct.
And this game is called The Division. It's under the Tom Clancy universe. And yep. I've been a fan of Tom Clancy's games, Rainbow Six. Splinter Cell was one of the first that I ever encountered. And I love Splinter Cell. It was a flat 2D kind of game. Yeah. But it was so much tactical involved. And Tom Clancy's games always involve this tactical element.
Right.
It's not just a shooter game.
I remember you showing me the trailer 3 years ago, or whatever it was. And I was kind of like, kind of looks okay. The UI looks brilliant.
Yeah.
A lot of elements look very clever. I'm like, I'm not so sure they're going to be able to pull this off.
That's the thing, right? So 2013, when they announced they're going to make a game like this and it's open world, you will have, random agents joining into your game because it's a massively, online multiplayer game. A lot of people were skeptical in 2013. You go like, and with Ubisoft's kind of a bit sort of a bad track record, a lot of people were very skeptical. I just sort of like, they're gonna make this.
You just went, "What? I want this!
I want this! I just totally want this!" Immediately, as soon as if you watch the 2013 E3 game trailer, I think within 20 seconds, it's when he views his map and it's from his watch,
right?
And it projects on the floor of New York City itself, and you go like, wow. And you can eavesdrop in people's conversation when you're moving around the map. That for me just sold, because I've never seen such in sort of high tech equipment in a game before. I mean, we have like Call of Duty, they've gone all modern warfare, and it's completely from what it used to be.
Too far forward.
Too far forward.
Yeah.
I don't see any resemblance to real life. However, with The Division, the earlier stages of the trailer, it felt like, wow, this is something that I can relate to. Like a watch, and you project it on the floor,
and you could kind of imagine it as something real in 5 or 10 years' time.
Exactly. And the good thing is, it is set in a city that is real, New York City, although it's not in current time. It is it's a post-apocalyptic kind of New York City.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not really apocalypse.
Post-pandemic.
Post-pandemic, yeah. So it's everyone went sort of, not going to just like you. And then, truth be told, it was delayed many, many times. And only this year we've managed to get it. So that was like 3 years in the making.
Yeah.
And it was announced early this month. And, people are comparing it to like Destiny, because they're saying that this is very similar to Destiny. You've got an open world, you can go around, do your thing, and then you can join in other players.
Yeah. And there's an RPG element, obviously.
Yeah, but there is a little bit more story than the Destiny. So people are saying this is obviously a little bit better than Destiny because this has a story involved. So the game is set after like a weaponized weapon. Called the Green Poison, took over New York City, and the Division is actually a government sleeper agent. And you are obviously an agent, and your task is to save New York City and ultimately the world.
What I like about it as well is that these agents are people culled from everyday life.
Yeah.
So they're people like medical responders, there's firemen. You're not some kind of superhero character.
Yeah.
You're just a normal person who happens to be well-trained.
It feels a bit like The Watchmen when you say it that way, right?
Right.
Watchmen was the same thing as well, right?
Yeah.
Ordinary people with just have this ability to do crazy things.
The right thing.
The right thing, right?
Arguably.
Arguably the right thing. So the division is, so we're all agents, and you know, you are set to rebuild three key elements within New York City, the base itself. You've got the security, mm-hmm. you've got the medical, and you've got technology or
Correct.
Intel,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So you got to rebuild all these three key elements, and then you sort of restore New York City to what it was before.
Right.
However, you know, just like any other games, things don't go that easy because you know you encounter many different people. So
right.
that's the story of it. Now
you're missing one key element.
Oh, right.
When this pandemic took over New York, obviously it goes to chaos. And so New York is then kind of divided amongst factions of gangs.
Yeah.
So portions of the city belong to certain gangs.
Gangs, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we need to establish that first, because that's an important element.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you are from the division. You are part of a gang facing, I think, the four main tribes.
Yeah.
Gangs in New York City. And they're all taking over different spots. And you're supposed to conquer everyone and gain that back. And then it's separated between the light zone and the dark zone.
Right.
So light zone is a lot more, it's supposed to be a lot safer in the sense.
Well, yeah, you could say that.
Yes.
And another way you would be putting it is that in the light zone, you don't normally encounter many other players apart from the ones that are on your team. Mm-hmm. If you go into the dark zone, it's essentially a free-for-all.
Yeah, and the Dark Zone is a highly contaminated area, hence, you know, it's called the Dark Zone because no one actually sort of cleared that area and made it safe for just normal civilians, AI.
They just left people there, locked it up, walked
exactly.
away.
Exactly, yeah, walked away, right? Now, the cool things about the Division. I love the map. New York just looks amazing.
It's incredible.
It's crazy. I remember the first few minutes when we logged on, and I was just looking around, go like, wow, Richard, like, you know, it looks beautiful. Like,
right.
Even though it's a, you know, sort of like a post-pandemic New York City, and, you know, cars are just all over the streets, and there's no sort of real electricity going on.
Yeah.
And it snows all the time. But just the way that it feels.
I've spoken with people who are from New York, and they're like, they have actually captured the element, the essence of New York.
Ah, wow.
You know, it's not like you have to kind of suspend your belief and think, oh, this is like a potential New York. They're like, no, it is. This is the attitude of New York, you know? But like you say, you know, the cars parked on the street that have doors that you can close.
Yeah.
little things like that, you know? And you're just like, the attention to detail in this game, the graffiti on the walls.
Yeah.
You know, the references to certain characters within the game, the references to, you know, gangs and whatever within the game. It's just phenomenally well rendered.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful looking game.
Yeah. And also, you know, I've got to say, even the weather changes as well throughout the game.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Like, you know, sometimes when you're walking around, you realize that it's sort of shifting maybe from light to day.
Yeah.
From light to dark. And then, you know, sometimes you get like a weather storm and you can't even see maybe, you know, 10 meters ahead of you. It's just completely pitch black and, you know, because there's no electricity around the streets. And I felt like, wow, this is really cool.
It feels dangerous.
It feels dangerous, yeah. And I think that element of feeling, you know, when you're walking out on the streets alone by yourself, if you're playing solo or with your friend, that element of, you know, let's walk from one place to where our mission is supposed to be, maybe about, you know, 1.5 kilometers. And it tells you how far as well, like a GPS tracker, right? That journey that you take from point A to point B, you may encounter a few sort of, you know, side missions or, you know, maybe just random encounters with, you know, different gangs who are trying to get into your area. That element of surprise or uncertainty of what will happen when you travel from point A to point B is something that's been missing from a lot of games.
Agreed.
You know, Grand Theft Auto is another, you know, massive, you know, map. You can travel from point A to point B, but everything just feels like, you know, it doesn't really quite move, or, you know, nothing really happens.
It's kind of flat until you get there.
Until you get there, and then you know, you do your mission and all that, right? Unless, you know, for example, Grand Theft Auto, if you beat a red light or you bang a car and there's a police in front of you, then, you know, the story slightly changes. But, you know, for the Division, it feels like, right, there isn't anyone on the streets, rightly so, because it's a dangerous city. And when you're walking around, and you hear these random gunfires from, you know, maybe a mile away, and you go like, what's that? Like, you know, I remember first time.
Everybody kind of switches.
Yeah, everyone's just turning around. I was like, is this something that, you know, like, is someone trying to attack us, or should we go and save out? Like, but it's actually just part of the elements that they put in the game to make you feel you are in a city where there is trouble.
Yeah.
And I really like the just the minor details. Like, I remember you took me up to one of the flats, and, you know, there's a flat screen TV, and, you know, it's like, hey, Jeff, come over here. And I was like, what's going on? I was like, watch me shoot this TV down. And, you know, after three shots, and, you know, the whole screen just kind of broke, and the TV just left the frame itself.
Right. It broke like an actual TV.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Not like a game TV.
Not like a game TV. Like, it broke in chunks of glasses that you see, and it's different kind of elements that you see. You can even shoot the headlights of a car. And if you shoot the bonnet, or if you shoot the car enough, the alarm starts ringing.
Right.
You know, if you shoot the tire will puncture.
Right.
And there's that sound as well.
Yeah.
Which I think the sound, my God, like, it is so good. Like,
To pick up on that, the most satisfying thing that I've seen in terms of how things look when you shoot them. It's one of those, every kid, every boy who plays this kind of game, all they want to do is shoot things, right? And when you can shoot everything, you're like, well, what else can I shoot?
Yeah.
So I'm shooting, you know, fire extinguishers to see how they react. Our friend Butch was on the game with me, and I shot a fire extinguisher, and it exploded off the wall and actually blinded him temporarily whilst it was there. But there was a sofa in an apartment, and I shot at the sofa, and instead of just a hole appearing, you could see the indentation where the bullet had gone in. And the sound was like what it would sound like if you shot a sofa. Now, that attention to detail is incredible.
Yeah, yeah. So, love the map, love the details, the sound that we have. And also, when it comes to sound, the guns that the sound makes as well, right? Mm. It's really, really good. Mm. It is. It has different elements as well. There are a lot of guns to choose from. You can play as a person who, you know, goes all, you know, submachine gun, or you could do with a rifle.
Mm-hmm. A light machine gun.
Yeah,
shotguns.
Anything. Yeah. So there's a variety of guns, and it's great because the game is all about shooting and nothing but shooting.
Pretty much.
We will get to the point of, like, you know, how much shooting involved in this game, but, you know, the guns are the main thing, and the good thing is there are a variety of guns. And when you go up from level 1 to level 30, and the maximum level at the moment is level 30.
Correct.
For the light zone.
Yeah.
And then you can go up to 99.
So far,
for the dark zone.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is so far, because we're not sure. Because a lot of people have reached level 30 already in the game. Yeah. Within the first day, there were a few people
that
as well.
That was insane, yeah.
Right, so, I mean, we're not those few people, but you've just recently reached level 30.
About four days ago, I think.
4 days ago.
Yeah.
So the question is now, after 2 weeks of playing the game, you've reached the maximum level that you can, and the game has still a long more way to go.
It still offers you things. I mean, here's the thing about the way in which they've kind of structured it. And there has been complaints, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
We'll deal with them in a little bit later on, I'm sure. But when you reach level 30, the game enemy AI scales massively. I mean, you know as well as I do, because there was a period, Jeff, where you were much lower than we were in our team.
I couldn't do anything.
And you couldn't do anything. You were the guy at the back literally hiding and throwing out med packs and you know, reviving people just to stay in the game.
Yeah.
But in terms of what, you know, at game end, it offers you the daily missions once you reach level 30. It offers you a challenge mode, which I've yet to play, but I've seen a lot of it online. The challenge mode is where the bosses that you would normally fight, where they are level 30, they become level 30 with added shields and one thing. So every guy you're fighting against is a level 30 elite who are shielded. Very, very difficult to defeat in a team.
Mm.
And you've got like 40 or 50 of these guys, you know, to defeat throughout a mission. So it's not like you're going to go in and you're going to do it in 10 minutes. It's going to take you a while, and you have to do it in a team.
Mm.
You know, otherwise you're you know.
Yeah, so, and that's the thing. So this game you can play solo or you can do it multiplayer.
Correct.
Even if you don't have friends who are playing this game, you can team up with, you know, random players who are playing the game at the same time. There's a matchmaking ability inside,
which is very good.
Very good, because you know, the problem that me and you have at the moment now is that I've been playing a lot less of the game, and there's a reason why, we'll tell later. And you've obviously had a better experience for at the beginning.
Yeah.
So you've climbed up the ranks pretty high. normally I would go like, Richard, stop playing, let me catch up. Yeah. You know? But at the moment I go like, nah, Richard, you know what? It's fine, because I use that matchmaking tool to pair up with people who are around the same level as me, and then I can, you know, sort of progress up much quicker as well. So that element that they put in between, you know, you can play it solo, you can do it multiplayer. Obviously playing solo is fun as well, but it's just a lot more difficult playing solo. Playing multiplayer is a lot more fun. It will be the best if you have a partner that you can chat with.
Correct.
The problem I have with matchmaking is like none of these people actually probably will use their headphones. So it's a lot about guessing what he's going to do next. And generally those people just go all Rambo, right?
Right, right.
With
right.
no sort of tactics, right? Yeah. This is probably, you know, 7, 8 year olds who are playing this game.
And you're seeing them dying and you're reviving them.
And I'm doing most of the work, right? Yeah. And we'll get to what we don't quite like about the game and our final thoughts about the game in just a moment. This is Game Time episode 14 and we are doing the review of Ubisoft's The Division. BFM 89.9. Incoming hostiles. This is Game Time episode 14. We're back, and my name is Agent Jeff Sandu.
I'm Richard Bradbury, Agent Richard Bradbury. Sure.
Agent Richard Bradbury. Just for today, we're all agents because we are doing a review of The Division. And early on, we talked about some of the really good things that we like about this game: the map, the sound, the guns that you can have, a little bit about, you know, just the gaming feel of it. Also, you know, it's open world. You can do it solo, you can do it multiplayer. Now then, there's a reason early on I mentioned why you're a lot more higher level than I am at the moment. And the reason why is because it's not because I haven't been playing often, is I haven't been able to get onto the game.
Yeah, and you're not alone.
And I'm not alone. There are a lot of people who are complaining. So the first problem I have with this game was that it's just so buggy.
Yeah.
There are too many bugs in this game that just causes it to crash.
And this is the where we divide, is because I haven't experienced...
Which is so weird.
Right, yeah. I haven't experienced hardly any of the bugs that you have.
Yeah, I think only heard you say it maybe a couple of times.
Yeah.
At most.
Yeah.
About the game crashing on you.
Yeah.
Whereas for me, it's like a couple of times within the space of 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And it happened really badly on the first weekend.
Which was such a shame.
Which was, you know, I think Ubisoft didn't know how many players would actually be...
I mean, I'd like to agree with you on that, but they had an open beta test.
Yeah, they should know.
It was a stress test. They should know.
That's the thing. It's a stress test. They should know how many people was going on to the game, and they should expect a splurge of, you know, amount of people going on to the weekend, especially. Mm, right? Friday, Saturday, the first Friday, the first Saturday, and the first Sunday, I couldn't get any game time at all. And I was sat there, you know, changing my DNS, you know, rebooting my router. I was port forwarding.
There was a whole set of conversation happening within Facebook, between the four of us. How do we fix this problem?
I took the whole of Saturday and Sunday just figuring out, you know, what's the best optimal connection that I could get, because you were not facing any of the problems.
No. I mean, I had my own problems. Slightly unrelated to you. One of them was that I fell through the map a couple of times.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, well, it's a new game. Yeah. I understand this. There was one time that I jumped on a car bonnet and couldn't get off again. So I was stuck on top of a car. And then with one of our teammates, I went inside a particular room and accidentally kind of walked into a toilet and got stuck inside a toilet. And I'm like, well, this shouldn't be happening.
Well, it's happened before real life, I guess, Richard.
Yeah, for sure. You know.
But okay, so what happens then when you get stuck? Like,
well,
you get log out and log in again?
I had to log out and log back in again. But there's been a period when I did that, and when I did log in, my agent appeared on the map outside of the boundaries of the map.
Ooh.
So it kind of went, I logged in, it went, you are out of bounds, logged me out, and then logged me back in at one of the safe houses.
Ah.
So I was like, well, that's not happened before.
Yeah, that was weird.
Mm.
But to be fair to Ubisoft, they were very fast and very quick.
I would say massive, not Ubisoft.
Oh, yeah, massive as well, right? So on Twitter, you could see them, you know, reporting and, you know, telling everyone, yep, we're experiencing a bit of downtime. And then on Tuesday, the first Tuesday after the game was launched, the week after the game was launched, they did the first server refresh kind of thing. It's an update. It was like 3 hours long where they just shut down the server, couldn't get any game time. And then the second weekend, it was a lot better.
Yeah.
And it's gating...
There were problems, Jeff, within the first few days, you know. As part of, before you can start really the whole New York experience, you have to register at this particular safe house and register your agent and one thing or another. And so all you do is you walk up to a desk and you push a button and it registers you. But there was a bug for the first few days where you couldn't walk through other players.
Yeah.
So there was physical queuing within a digital world. You know,
it looked really funny.
Which looked funny, but you're thinking to yourself, is this really the most efficient way of doing things when there are clearly millions of people who want to play this game?
Yeah. You know? This broke all records for Ubisoft.
Sure. For sure.
Because it sold on the PC, PS4, and the Xbox One.
Yeah.
Broke all records, so... We were expecting bugs, but at least, thankfully, at least on my part, I've experienced much less bugs. And, you know, there's two type of bugs. One is a mic error, and one is a delta error. I was getting a lot of delta errors. Mm. Thankfully, now it's been really sorted out, because I think over the past 3-4 days, I've only experienced it once.
Right.
And I think that once or so was because I had a really bad internet connection. So so kudos to the guys who are working behind this, because they are sort of working on this fix on a constant weekly basis, because every Tuesday... There's going to be a reset, right? A server reset for 3 hours and all. Gameplay.
Mm.
I found it a bit repetitive after maybe about 4 hours of playing.
Okay.
And I've been looking at a bit of reviews online and just to see, am I the only one? And I realized that, no, actually, a lot of people actually feel the same way. Because, you know, a shooter game, the only thing you could do is shoot.
Mm.
Shoot and kill, shoot and kill, shoot and kill. It's all the games are like that. Even to a certain extent, even, you know, Grand Theft Auto is the same. You shoot and kill, you shoot and kill. However, this really is just shoot and kill. The missions are the same. It's, you know, it's only a variety of like 3 or 4 different missions. It's like a virus mission, and there's one like an agent retriever, and one you fight like a big boss, and then one is like an encounter that you face, right? And all of these missions just feel the same. You know, you come in, you get a group of people who you're supposed to attack, and, you know, you kill them off, throw as many bullets as you can, then you get the boss. And the boss will just be a lot more stronger. You know, he probably has a shield that you have to break the shield first, and then you can kill him.
Mm-hmm.
And it just feels like that every single mission.
ATF doesn't scare me, none.
Secured. Hostiles neutralized.
It does. I agree with that.
GTF notified.
There is repetition within it, but I think the key thing that you're missing, and you've never really been much of an RPG player, I don't think.
No,
You know, the whole point about this repetition is the stuff that you get when you kill these people.
The
drops. So that's something we've not addressed.
Yeah.
When you kill people within this virtual world, they drop items. You know, these could be weapons, they could be gear for your outfit, it could be even clothes.
You know,
a type of scarf, for example.
Which I don't see any point.
Oh, come on, come on. It's important. You've got to look good while you're in New York.
Okay. Before we get into the loots that you can pick up from enemies that you kill, let's just go on to this equipment stuff that you have, right? So your character is not just you can equip them with the guns and so forth. You can equip them with a vest, with the gloves, with, you know...
A backpack,
right?
Yeah.
However, there isn't much difference in terms of the visual element.
True.
Like, you know, it took me nearly about, I would say about 15 minutes to build my character in terms of the face and the jacket that I bought from the store itself. Mm. It was free because we bought it pre-order. So, you know, you get a few items that you can buy from the Ubisoft store. But the thing is, like, it only took me about 2 hours before I stumbled upon someone who looks exactly the same as me. And I go like, I want to be unique, you know?
Right. But you're right. I mean, you look at a game like Fallout.
Fallout
4, where you could spend hours developing what your character looks like. But you're right. In terms of appearance, I think it's only when you get higher up in the levels and more things become available to you that you can look a little bit, not exactly unique, but the chances of you encountering somebody who looks like you is fewer.
Yeah. Like, you know, if you were to give a civilian, so civilians will randomly come up to you if they are in need of something, like
help
a water.
Me.
Yeah.
Give me water. Right.
You know, so you go up to them and you pass them a med kit or, you know, or
a soda.
Or soda or yeah. water or whatever, right? And they will drop an item for you to pick up.
Yeah.
But generally, the items, you know, it's cargo pants.
Yeah.
You know,
or a scarf.
Like, or a scarf. Yeah. What am I supposed to do with that?
You're supposed to look cool in New York. How many times do I need to say this?
But it doesn't reflect on the character image itself. It just says that I've equipped myself with a scarf.
Yeah.
And you go like, yeah.
It affects nothing of your ability.
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, I wasted a med kit on a civilian just for a scarf. On real life, I would never do that. You know, I would keep my med kit. You can keep your scarf, man. Like, I'll need my med kit.
But the guy's dying, for God's sake.
It's okay, you know. But that's the element that I think that they need to tweak.
Right.
You know, they need to make sure that these stuff is worth doing.
Right.
It's worth going up to civilian. And you're like, hey, here's a med kit. You know, maybe if the civilian dies, you know, there's an effect to the gameplay itself. Like, you know, maybe New York City will take longer to be restored to what it is, right? At least then it gives me, when I'm walking from point A to point B to my mission and I stumble across a civilian who needs a med kit and I go like, sorry, man, I'm going for a mission. I need that med kit. But if I know if I avoid that and the civilian dies, it's going to affect my gameplay, I will then give it to him.
Right.
You know? So I think that element needs to be in place as well.
Yeah, no, I agree. Mm. And I think little things like being able to change just the color of your backpack, the color of your gloves, little things like that, I don't think would be too difficult to implement.
No.
And what also would benefit from this game is what we've talked about how things don't look differently, but they have different talents, they have different effects, they have different perks, which is very important in creating this whole unique character. But what is frustrating is, let's say, for example, I'm going into the Dark Zone, and the specific reason that I'm going there is not to kill a boss. It's to go and find what they call Division Tech, which is a crafting element that you need to improve your weapons and your backpack and whatever. Now, one of the skills that you can get is called scavenging, right? So let's say, for example, I'm out and a boss comes along, but I've decided to choose on my weapon a critical hit skill and forgoed my scavenging skill. So I'm okay at killing the boss, but when I go and look for tech, it's not there because my scavenging skill is too low. Now, to change that, I have to go back to base of operations, change out all of my stuff, then go back out to the Dark Zone. Why can't I just have 3 or 4 different bags? Today I want to wear this bag that allows me to go and kill any boss. Tomorrow I might want to pick a bag up that allows me to go and do scavenging. Just a quick change, you know? Back home, new wardrobe, out again. It's like a Friday night, Friday evening kind of thing. Like that.
Yeah, actually that makes a good point, because then, you know, the backpack makes sense.
Right.
Right. You could have different backpacks and
correct.
You could equip yourself with different backpacks. Right now, it's just like, you know, you have a level 10 backpack that allows you to store 36 items and then you upgrade to maybe a level 12, which you know, goes up to 38 or something like that. And it's just the backpack gets bigger, but it doesn't actually do any proper storage in itself, right? I want a preset.
Yeah. But just to hit on this backpack thing as well, there is a bug right now within the game where, and this is, it's kind of been massive, I'm not saying an awful lot about this, because this is technically a game-breaking bug.
Oh.
If you craft a particular backpack, or any backpack, and you happen to be in one of your friends as their version of the game, like say I join your game, and I craft my backpack in your game, if the amount of items I can carry in my backpack is higher than yours, when I log out of your session, it's very possible that I can't get back into my session. It breaks the game.
Oh.
You can't log back in. There's an inventory issue.
Oh,
right. So there's threads on the Ubisoft website and the Massive website talking about this. So far, Massive and Ubisoft have been quite quiet.
Oh, wow.
So this is something to bear in mind. Don't craft the backpacks yet until this has been hot fixed. It's important.
All right. Just to wrap it up, now the story, I thought it was a bit forgettable. Like, you know, it's...
Nah.
Yeah, no, even the characters itself,
right.
Like Agent Fei or right, something, right? Right?
Like Fei Lau.
Fei Lau, right? Yeah. I'm like, yeah, you know. Like
we say this, but there are people who are going out there, they're collecting every element within the game.
Wow.
The echoes, the phone calls, the, you know, for them, that makes it more immersive.
Yeah.
And the amount of work that's gone into these little elements is great. The videos that they've done, you know, if you take your time and you're one of these players who does it day by day, a couple of hours here, a couple of hours there, every little shred of evidence that you get or information is important to you.
Mm. Now, there's one big update that's just released to fix some of the bugs that are in the game.
Yeah.
But there's actually two major updates that will come before the DLC starts to kick in. In April, you will get the first of the free update. It's called Incursions. And then in May, you will get Conflict. And then in June, it starts the DLC. So if you bought the season pass, this is where you will start to reap the benefits. You will get Underground, which is the first paid expansion. And then in the summer, you will get Survival. And then the second, the third paid expansion will be in winter, which is called The Last Stand.
Brilliant.
So it shows that, you know, this is just year one. Apparently, there's year two and year three as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so apparently they're looking at building this game more than just after one season pass.
I could see that happening. I mean, the potential of this game, the amount of work that has gone into crafting the perfect New York for this post-pandemic thing. You know, you look at it and you think, this can't be just it. And there were people complaining, you know, that there's not enough content. They completed the game in the first week. You know, what do you expect? The guys have spent years making this game and you're rushing through doing it in one week and then you're complaining? I mean, really? Come on.
I don't think it's fair to say the game lacks content.
No.
I don't think it lacks content. I think, you know, you just spent too much time playing on it.
Right.
Because you're immersed in it. You've sort of really engaged with it.
It is so addictive, Jeff.
And that's the thing, right?
It is.
So people should instead focus on like how addictive this game is compared to how much lack of content. Because if it's lack of content, and then you wouldn't be so addicted to the game anyways, and you wouldn't have completed it in a day. Because
it's like we said earlier on, it's about getting the best equipment for your character. It's a looty-shooty, if you want to put it that way, almost. But it's important. You know, if you pick up something, this is the element of the Dark Zone that we've not really touched on the Dark Zone much, but it's an important part of the game. If you find something out there in the Dark Zone and you've killed for it and you've grinded for it and it's been hard work and you pick it up and you have to extract it. If some other player comes along and shoots you and you lose that item, you lose all that time that you've invested, you know, and it becomes like, I need to get it back.
Yeah.
And that's what they're doing right about it right now. But the balancing within the Dark Zone has been off. It's not been quite right. Yeah. The economy of this game needs looking at. I think that's something that really needs to be addressed.
And like you said, you know, there are a lot of elements. We have not really spoken about it yet, but I think we will throughout the episode goes by, you know, 15, 16, when we do more game time episodes. Because we will be playing this game. We will be hooked on.
Yeah.
Even though you've reached level 30 now and, you know, you're now working up into the Dark Zone areas. But in next month, you will get the first update. And then there will be different elements, and I'm sure they will fix a lot of things within the game. And then I think we can sort of talk about the Dark Zone, you know. And I think we will spend a lot more time on the Dark Zone. This episode, we're talking a lot more on the Light Zone, just the game overall. So your expectations of the game and your final conclusions of the game, how has it been? Like, because your expectations was not like mine.
Not at all. Not at all. And I think the funny thing is, we've kind of reversed almost, you know.
Yeah.
I have become incredibly addicted to a game that I never thought that I would be addicted to. I mean, don't get me wrong. For the last few weeks and the last few shows, we've been saying how great Battlefront is and how much fun we've had on Battlefront. We have. But I think that time has almost come to an end because of what this game has done. It's not brilliant by any stretch of the imagination. There is repetition. There is that whole thing about it being the honeymoon period and it being a new game, and so therefore we're addicted to it because of that. But I see potential within this game. I see where it's going to go. And I like the fact that there's just so much thought put into it. And the development team are reactive to problems. They're fixing issues as and when we see them.
Yeah.
There's a massive community you know, around this game. I mean, if you are a Redditor, you know, there's a Division subreddit. There's 110,000 subscribers to that subreddit, which is incredible for a video game. Mm. You know, there are not many video games nowadays that would do that and draw in that kind of audience. So mm. we're not alone in thinking that there is definitely potential for mm. this game. I think it started off as with very low expectations. I now look at it as something that is definitely within the running for my at least top three games of 2016 so far.
Wow, and yeah. 2016 is only the first started. Quarter, right? Like, yeah. There's a lot more games to be out. Uncharted 4 hasn't been released yet. You know, yeah. Like you said, I've got completely different reaction towards the game. I was, you know, expecting a lot. Didn't quite get it. Now I'm slowly starting to enjoy the game, but I'm enjoying it in a very different kind of feel because, you know, I'm doing it a lot of solo with random people.
Right.
So I would just give it like an above average. I'm really hoping to see when they come up with the updates, with the DLCs, how much is this going to add on to the game? Because right. I'm afraid that when I hit level 30 in Light Zone, everything's just going to be a bit too easy for me.
Yeah, I mean, and you've probably seen that when I've joined your games.
Yeah.
You're there shooting. I walk in and go, pop, they're dead.
Yeah, you know, so...
But and that's an element they need to address.
Yeah, so because a lot of people have reached level 30 now.
Yeah.
What are you going to do, right? So are you just going to then make the game to level 99 in Light Zone? Mm. If you do that, then, you know, you've got to, you know, obviously add on a lot more new guns and elements to it. And that's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Or do you just make the whole Light Zone into a Dark Zone area?
Right. I mean, we've heard
it feels too little people in the city.
And we've spoken about bullet sponges or what people. You know, this is the thing. I mean, it might take 400 shots to kill a particular enemy, but it's a video game for one. It's an RPG shooter for one. It's not based on a first person.
Nah,
you know. You've got if you kind of suspend your belief for a little while. And one of these guys that's running at you with a baseball bat, if it was an alien and you were giving it a million shots, you wouldn't think twice about it. But correct. Because it looks like a human character, you're thinking, well, he should be dead by now.
Yeah. But I actually like the shooter element where you know, it doesn't take a hit.
Yeah.
Or it doesn't take just one hit shot to kill a person. Yeah. It takes more than one hit, right? So I like that factor.
Me too.
So, you know, it makes you
work hard.
Exactly. Now, just to wrap up very quickly, Sony... they announced the VR headset. We didn't cover this the last episode, but we have to speak about it now because we're big fans of VR. VR is coming out very soon. So they've taken out the lid. It's called the PlayStation VR, and it's actually very affordable compared to the rest.
Yeah.
So it's $399 US for the headset, but you can buy a bundle, $499 US. It comes with the camera. The two PlayStation Move controllers.
Yes.
Yeah, one of those.
The cheerleader things.
and it comes with the headset. So $499 US for everything
right.
is quite a decent price. The only worry that I think me and you have is that, you know, what are the game releases, right?
Launch content.
Mm-hmm. What you know, you got to entice us for something like this, right? You can't... just release something which is going to be here, what, about 1,600?
Right, I mean, I remember reading a while ago saying that the launch titles would be Sony PlayStation VR Worlds, Gollum, Riggs Mechanized Combat League. That none of those say to me, I must buy this item right now, you know?
Yeah.
I want to see something on there that's immediately going to say, I need to buy this.
Give me like a Gran Turismo or, you know, or even Battlefront. I think EA and Battlefront... are working on something for VR content.
That's going to be terrifying.
But imagine flying the TIE fighter
right.
using a VR headset.
Right, right.
Because even in the cockpit view at the moment, we can't.
Right,
we can't do it. It's just dizzy all over.
No. You'd end up with PTSD. You know?
Anyways, that's all the time we have for this week's Game Time. My name, Agent Jeff Sandu.
I've been Agent Rich Bradbury.
Until next time, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station.